So you're big into video games, I assume.
Yeah.
What are your opinions?
I hate video games with my job.
You're living a horrible life.
Right.
What are your thoughts about Star Trek video games?
You know, it's a real mystery how you can have a franchise as rich and awesome as Star Trek and to have so few good Star Trek video games. A lot of people argue that this pinball game that came out in the 90s, Star Trek The Next Generation Pinball, is the best Star Trek game ever, and I kind of agree with that. There are some more obscure games like Star Trek Armada I thought was pretty good, but generally speaking, they kind of suck.
That has been my experience. I'm always so excited when I'm a casual gamer who probably has more money than sense. So I buy consoles based on, like, if I want to play, like, for example, Mario Kart 8. So I bought a Wii U because I wanted to play Mario Kart 8.
It's a good game.
It is a lot of fun. If only it were Star Trek themed. But so sometimes I buy these things so I can play a Star Trek game, and I'm always disappointed because they're inevitably. They're horrible. Except there was one, and this is a good segue. Wasn't there one set on Voyager?
Yeah, I really
Elite
liked
Squad
this one
or something. Is that
yeah,
what it was called?
Star Trek Voyager Elite Force.
Yes,
something I really liked about it is it let you explore the Voyager ship, which I really, really appreciate. They actually brought in Jerry Ryan, Seven of Nine, after she was added to the cast. To kind of add her little bit of color to it. And since I work with 3D professionally all the time, I actually installed that game a while back, and my happy memories of it were just ruined because I'm a professional and then I start picking it apart. So
that is the problem. It's like you never should watch shows that you loved from childhood.
Oh, no. It's not going to work out well.
It doesn't work out well.
Right.
Unless they're like Star Trek, where they've been digitally remastered and enhanced, so it looks good. So I know something about you.
Okay.
Star Trek related.
All right.
That sounded a little creepy. and she is, like, she is a great character. When she first came on to Voyager, I thought, oh, they're just putting her on here because she's a beautiful woman.
Right.
And certainly
which Star Trek has a rich history of doing, by
the way.
It
is true. Yeah. I mean, when I'm watching the original series, and I think to myself, good Lord, those women are not wearing anything. And in some cases, they in fact are not wearing anything.
Right, right.
But, I think that they were really smart in that Seven of Nine isn't just, she's not like some space bimbo or anything like that. And she was never cast that way.
No.
She just happens to be a beautiful woman who is super smart, doesn't take any crap, isn't there for you to look at, but she is there to be a part of the crew, and to she is actualized, and she has agency, and she is one of, I agree with you, she's one of the great characters of Star Trek.
I feel like what really frustrates me personally is I can't help but feel that there's somewhat of a gendered component to the criticism of Voyager. If you look at the number one review of the Blu-ray series of Voyager, like one of the comments is, sure, it's a chick running a starship, and then it goes on to make some comments about a teenager being in charge. And I can't help but feel that, like, when I think about what makes a good Star Trek series, I think about several things. I think about the art design. Mm-hmm. I think Voyager is the most beautiful ship that Star Trek has ever created. I think about character arcs, and growth. And I think Voyager excelled more than any other Star Trek that's ever come out at putting these characters out there and letting them grow slowly over the seven seasons. You know, the Doctor is not the same. Seven of Nine is not the same. Janeway is not the same. Harry Kim is not the same. B'Elanna Torres is not the same. Tom Paris is not the same. I thought that they really excelled at that. I think they excelled at giving you really compelling races to come in and kind of have conflict with, whether it's the Hirogen or Species 8472. I feel like as you watch Voyager and you really understand the seasons and the overall arc of the show, it's extremely well done. Like, do you know how the fourth season of Enterprise is better because every episode is like this three-episode arc? Like, Voyager was doing that from the beginning. And, it wasn't so closely tied together, but it was three related episodes often in a row. And I feel like aesthetically, I feel like there's a certain threshold of quality to the Voyager episodes that doesn't really ever dip below. You know, people blast Voyager for having bad writing. And I'm like, have you ever seen season three of the original series? Have you ever seen season one of, you know, TNG? My husband bet me $100 that I could not sit through that season. That was the hardest $100 I ever won in my life.
There are a few episodes that are pretty good in season one of TNG, sure. But overall, not so good. I blame Gene Roddenberry for that.
I agree, but I'm saying there's a certain lower limit of quality to the average Voyager episode that I think is higher than TNG, to be honest with you. So, and you know, that's an opinion. But
I think that there are some problems with Voyager. I think they...
Well, what do you think the problems are? I'd be interested.
The fact that I find half the characters annoying is a problem. Okay. This okay. is also all subjective, obviously.
Sure, sure.
But I also think that they went maybe four times too many to the Borg. Well, the Borg just keeps showing up everywhere
Very
they
fair
go.
Point.
There's
Very
Borg
fair
everywhere.
Point.
And I think that there are just some episodes that are, and this is true of all Star Trek, but I think that error rate is a little higher.
Really?
Their miss rate, for me,
okay.
at least.
Sure.
Because they're, like, the first season of Voyager, I found incredibly difficult.
Really?
Well, because it's with the Kazon, and they're,
right.
they have these giant spaceships, but they can't find water, and it's
right.
like, oh, come on, people. That just doesn't make any sense, and that really bothered me.
I think that's fair. And maybe it's the time period that you watch it in. Like, for me, the time that Voyager was coming on the air, like, that's the same period that, you know, I remember my first kiss, you know, or, I mean, it's that teenage, do you know what I mean? Like
I
that,
totally
where
know what
everything
you mean.
Is exciting and wonderful. So,
and this is why when people, right. I've been talking to lots of people, obviously, about Star Trek, and I ask them what their favorite Star Trek series is, and then they ask me, obviously. And so my favorite, writing-wise, I think the best example of Star Trek is Deep Space Nine, but the one that has a special place in my heart is The Next Generation, because exactly as you said, that came along right at the time when it just hit me right in the sweet spot, so that
right.
is my Star Trek.
Sure.
And so Voyager, for you, is your Star Trek, and that's the great thing, I think, about Star Trek.
I can't imagine that there's some, you know, someone in their
Enterprise,
late 20s
sure.
right now that's like, Enterprise, that's the best show ever. And they would have a great argument for that. I would like to hear that show, from an intellectual level.
There's a cute dog.
Right, yeah. Oh,
Scott Bakula.
Star Trek.
Oh,
I thought he did a good job, but...
The final season of Enterprise was the best.
I agree with that.
But, we just did an Enterprise episode where I spent many minutes railing against the theme song.
I love the modified one where it's from the Mirror Mirror universe. That is still one of the most played songs on my iPod. You have this warlike thing. Do you remember that where they changed
know.
It? Okay, you've got to watch the Mirror Mirror episode of Enterprise. It is excellent. It's really, really good. They completely changed the theme song. It's this apocalyptic world is ending kind of thing.
That's awesome.
It's set in the Mirror Mirror universe. All the best episodes of Star Trek are from Mirror Mirror.
It is true. I was just talking about the Mirror Mirror universe today with one of my coworkers, oddly enough.
You really have to go watch this. It's really exceptional.
Well, I'm going to have to watch this. But now we must talk about the episode that we have watched for tonight's episode.
So you're talking about sub-genres of Star Trek, and a huge sub-genre of Voyager after season four are the Janeway and Seven of Nine episodes. And I think this is a really excellent example of it. It's one of the very best ones. And you really see them fighting against each other.
It's
but
true.
You also see Captain Janeway's way of dealing with it, which is trying to relate to Seven of Nine emotionally, where it's easy for me to imagine, you know, Captain Kirk or Captain Picard kind of telling, you know, someone to fall in line or do it their way. And I found that very interesting.
It's It's hard for me to imagine Captain Picard playing a game with any of his crew members.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly.
He's not really that kind of captain.
No, he's not.
Kirk would, but he would cheat, so. Oh, Kirk. Yeah, and so that really sets up this nice little tension between Seven of Nine and Janeway for this episode, because Seven of Nine clearly is irritated. And Janeway is understanding, because, you know, this is the first season with Seven of Nine, right? Mm-hmm. She's introduced in season 4. So
season 4. Well, season 3 ended technically, season. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she's been on Voyager for 9 months or something, so she's still dealing with her duality of remembering that, learning how to be a human again, basically, but also embracing her Borg side as well, because you know, we're all the sum of our parts, which is a very constant theme in Star Trek. And so that's the end. Janeway says, well, not the end of the episode, that'd be a very short episode. Janeway says, peace out, Seven, I'm out of here.
So, can I say something here? Like, they have this great line in the middle of this where, Seven of Nine kind of stands up and says, Voyager is a proven ship. It would be inadvisable to just leave her behind. This is season 4. This is the same season you had Year of Hell. Have you seen these episodes of Voyager?
I have.
It's excellent. It's excellent. And you see Voyager, like, torn apart slowly. Bit by bit. At the beginning of the episodes, the ship you always know, and then the bulkheads are damaged, and then parts of it are ripped off, and the CG model changes, and it's barely functioning by the end. And this whole season, you've seen Voyager destroyed and affected in ways that, if you were watching at the time, it was actually very innovative as far as CG on television. And to me, I always loved that line. Like, this was 1998, and it was, you had seen that season, like, Voyager kind of ripped apart, yet survive in ways that you'd never really seen in a Star Trek before. And I love that line for that reason.
Tuvok says, I'll be on my way over, and because he's on Voyager. So he goes over there. And so Janeway, once again, back at Voyager in their little media room. It's not a media room.
Is that what you're calling it? The ready room? The media room?
You know,
they got a Blu-ray player in there, but they lost the lost the CG. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And she's looking at all the stuff that came through this message, because it's a huge message, so there's a lot of charts, and she's looking at Earth, and Seven of Nine comes in and basically says, I am staying in the Delta Quadrant because I have no need to go to Earth. I don't care about it. And that's it. And Janeway says, well, you have come so far. You are a human. And it would be a shame if you stayed all by yourself in the Delta Quadrant. So maybe you should come with us.
She tried relating to her emotionally at first. You know, she's like, Seven, you've grown so far since you've been here. Like, doesn't a small piece of you want to see what it's like? And then Seven is kind of belligerent. And this is where even Captain Janeway at her angriest is not a tenth as angry as Picard, but she just looks at her point blank and says, Seven, we've given a lot to you. It's time you give something back. And I thought it was a very direct moment with her, but she's also kind of standing up. And I don't know, it's that kind of Seven Janeway dynamic where you have these two very strong women that are, they really manage to hit each other, hit their heads without kind of really conflicting, or they're staying true to themselves.
They're not yelling at each other.
They're having a heated discussion, but it's
not like they're just barking at each other.
Well, I was trying to think about that today. Is there a relationship in any Star Trek where it is two people that are crewmates on a ship kind of doing that to each other? You have Quark and Odo, but it's a much more civil future in general.
It's true. People are laid back, and we all get along. Kumbaya.
Right.
Starfleet has evolved past such things. I guess Worf yells at people.
I've never seen a bathroom on a Star Trek.
There are bathrooms on Enterprise.
Oh, are there? Did I miss that episode?
I just watched an episode of Enterprise called Doctor's Orders. Features Phlox on the Enterprise with everybody in a coma. And we see a bathroom, basically. Long story
I don't remember that bathroom. I do remember that episode. I will rewatch that.
You should. So, it's a beautiful bathroom, yeah. by the way.
It's very... Well, I want to know what toilets in the future look like. That's
they don't show the toilet. They only show the shower, but I assume there's a toilet in there.
All right, there we go. There
it could just be a shower. That's neither here nor there.
Yes.
And
hope
as
we
Jane,
edit that part out. No,
I think we will, because we're already running long. But this is a great conversation.
Sorry.
No. This is great. This is what editing is for. It's true. And this is the season that has the episode with the aliens dressed up as Nazis. And if there's something,
is it? Yeah. Is that season?
There, you know, if there's something I like more than Nazi references in Star Trek, I'm not sure what it is.
Can you, maybe as an expert in Star Trek, do you have any idea why they return to this so much? Because I don't get it. I don't, like the season 3 of Enterprise, where they are, you know, they're flying to the Gamma Quadrant to, like, you know, stop the Sphere Builders, and then boom, they're back on Nazi Earth, like in World War II. I don't understand it.
Who doesn't love the Nazis? They're the best
is that
bad
it?
Guys.
Is
I
it
think.
It? Yeah.
They got snazzy uniforms.
Is it enjoyable? I don't know. It's certainly a Star Trek trope that all the Star Treks end up there somewhere
they do,
or another.
Sooner or later, your favorite Star Trek crew is going to encounter Nazis of some kind.
Exactly.
Space Nazis, alien Nazis, past Nazis, holographic Nazis.
Yeah, yeah.
A whole planet that is Nazi-like but isn't actually Nazis.
Well, is there a DS9?
There's a DS9
one?
Nazi episode.
Well, there's TOS, I know. There's Enterprise, there's Voyager. Mm-hmm. What about TNG?
There might not
and
be
DS9?
Any Nazis in TNG. Although Lore's little Borg collective is kind of Nazi-esque, but they're not Nazis.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if they engage in Nazis. And I don't know about Deep Space Nine either.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Where there's a holodeck, there are bound to be Nazis.
There's bound to be that.
That's what I say.
I mean, Star Trek at its core is about exploring these themes about being human and these timeless truths and these timeless conflicts. I mean, and, you know, I guess the Nazis are in our time, like, you know, generally speaking, the 100 years that we've kind of that's around our culture. Like, they're certainly one of the most iconic images of evil. So maybe it's because it's a familiar symbol, and because when you're telling these operatic stories of good and evil, it's a familiar reference point, maybe. I don't know.
Yes, and I think clearly when you see Nazis, you know they are bad. So there's no well, I don't know.
Maybe they're
misunderstood. No, they're not. They're evil.
Right.
And you shouldn't trust them.
Yeah.
Because they're Nazis.
Right.